4 o'clock hour. Tomorrow is Whiskey, Stars, and Cigars, presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. So if you got nothing to do tomorrow, you come on out tomorrow. Our new location, Tabacón Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk. Enjoy a sample of Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. Tomorrow, Tabacón Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk, presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2023 Dealer of the Year. Sponsored by the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man. And by the injury law firm Cohen & Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE. We will do the show out there tomorrow at Plantation Walk. Crowder won't be with us tomorrow. He's in New York, but Gino Toretta will be with me. Josh Appel will be with me. Obviously, Solana and Jimmy will be out there. And then when you get to the actual event tomorrow night, it'll be Joe Rose, Leroy Horde, Brendan Tobin, Jay Figg. I mean, the list goes on and on. Pretty much everybody but Dan Day. Is that right, Solana?
Yeah, Dan Day didn't make the cut. Everybody's a little concerned about, you know, free alcohol, cigars.
Somebody's got to be back at the studio to run the board. Dan Day volunteered.
That's right, so. That's right.
But we will be out there tomorrow. Also, I've been talking about it throughout the afternoon, but we have Post Malone tickets. Post Malone is coming to Hard Rock Stadium next year, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away every day this week. Just keep listening for your chance to win a Live Nation show. Let's begin with headlines. I have a lot of stuff I want to get to this hour, so let's get a quick look at headlines. There's some, you know, big news in the world of South Florida sports, and Solana's got your headlines.
Definitely, guys. It starts with Inter Miami, which is a little bizarre. Not usually how we would start, but...
Well, we figured we'd be talking about them right now.
Yeah.
Just not about a coaching change. We thought that they'd be, you know, deep into the playoffs.
Playing this weekend. Should have been playing this weekend. Instead, their manager, Tata Martino, is gone for personal reasons. That's what's being reported right now. He is stepping away from the managerial role for the Herons.
Want to move forward, you know, human and organization figure it out, and they say, hey, we'll say it's on you, and it's on you. I want to hear the real story.
Well, it's just interesting to me because, I think back to who was the Bucks head coach last season who got fired, even though that they were a great team, and then Doc Rivers took over. He was terrible.
The weird-looking dude.
Adrian Griffin.
Yeah. Adrian Griffin. Yeah. Was that his first head coaching job, or had he coached before?
First head coaching job.
So you go, oh, you know what? As good as we might be playing, you've got Giannis and Dame, we should be even better. The Florida Panthers replaced the President's Trophy winning coach. Who was it? Andrew Brunette? Was he the interim coach?
Yes.
Brew Man.
Was it the Brew Man?
No.
Bruno Man.
You're thinking of Bruno Man.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Ryan and KC, the Brew Men. That's
something. Bruno Man.
But they replaced, you know, they go on to, and very similar to Inter Miami, right? They win the President's Trophy. They have the most points in the league. Supporter Shield in MLS. Same thing happens. The difference to me is Adrian Griffin, Andrew Brunette, they were not established coaches. And so the organization said, you know what? We can be even better, as good as we are. We can be even better with someone maybe who has more experience, and obviously the Panthers bring in Paul Maurice and the Bucks bring in Doc Rivers. This seems to be the opposite, Solana. So maybe there really was some sort of personal reason, or maybe there was a personality conflict with Jorge Mas and Tata Martino. Like, I don't know, but this doesn't seem to be completely analogous to me where it's like, yeah, we're really good. If we get the right guy, he can make us even better, because Tata Martino, from what you've told us, has the resume. He is the right guy.
Yeah, and the relationship with Messi is the weird one, because that's really why they brought Tata Martino here. He was comfortable with these guys. He has the resume outside of the MLS as well to be a top manager. But I would like to put it in the proper context of soccer and coaches around the world is very different than NBA and even NFL, because we've gotten into the stage in the NFL and even really in the NBA where there's zero patience. You're brought in, you have to see immediate results. Multiply that by 100,000 in soccer all around the world. You have managers losing jobs constantly, especially in high-profile jobs. So this isn't as bizarre as it might sound to us on the outside looking into a sport that most people down here don't know too much about. But overall, he still set a record in the MLS for points in a regular season and played half the games without the greatest player of all time. So you have to wonder, well, who's going to be better than that, even if you lost in the first round in one of the greatest upsets in professional sports history in the United States? I don't know, but bottom line, you had one of the biggest upsets and were on the wrong end of it in professional sports history in the United States. Somebody has to answer for that.
That's what I was going to say. What would be the answer for having all that damn talent with Messi and Busquets and all the people and getting your ass whooped by Atlanta United, who shouldn't even be on the pitch with you? Like, somebody, they couldn't just run it back. Somebody's, that organization's embarrassed right now, right? And if he was a scapegoat or not, somebody had to go.
For sure. Beckham, Moss, they're pissed off. And they paid him a lot of money, and they put a lot of money, the Jorge Moss contingency has.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the Milwaukee Bucks 2 years ago. Budenholzer is their head coach. They run away with the number one seed in the NBA. They face this Heat team, which they beat 2 years prior in the playoffs, swept them in the playoffs, and this Heat team as an 8 seed beats the number one overall seed in the NBA. I don't know. They were a pretty good team with Budenholzer as the head coach. They fired him anyways. Won an NBA title with Budenholzer as the head coach. Fired him anyways. Kind of the same situation here.
I remember that run when they won it because Hawk and myself were in Birmingham, Alabama at a damn Dave and Buster's.
Couldn't get any service, remember?
Yeah.
It was such perfect Birmingham, Alabama.
It is. Two old weirdos trying to play Jurassic Park. The kids are scared.
Yesterday, over to the other football, the Texans were playing the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. The Cowboys remained winless at home after getting routed, but it was the first time in 2 years that the Cowboys decided to open the roof at AT&T Stadium ahead of the game, and then a large piece of metal fell onto the field. They ended up closing the roof. Then there was another piece of metal that was almost hanging, and the NFL told the Cowboys, "We're going to cancel this game if you don't figure out what to do with that piece of metal." So they had some poor guy go up there and literally drill the piece of metal into the roof so that it wouldn't fall back down, and they were able to play the game. But Cowboys, Jerry Jones getting mocked nonstop on social media today.
Man, it's
crazy. You know, you go from hero to goat so quickly. I mean, he put on one of the biggest boxing spectacles just a few nights before at that stadium, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, metal hanging.
Man, both events were packed with humans. Jerry got rich, but he's way better at being an owner and a rich guy than he is at a GM and a football organization run.
Jerry didn't get rich. Jerry is rich.
Cowboys, the only American pro sports team without a home win in 2024. Even Florida State has a damn home win. That's how you know it's bad for the Dallas Cowboys, even though they're not a pro sports team. But I was going to ask you guys during Talk About It Tuesday, who is...
What stat did you just give?
I don't know. Who is the more disappointing team? Who is the more disappointing team? The Dallas Cowboys or the New York Jets, considering they today fired their general manager?
Well, the more disappointing team to me is the Jets, because I'll always give you the context of injuries. And Dak's out. I will always say that, because the Dolphins, I think, are a perfect example. You're expecting things to go a certain way because the personnel that you've tagged as the guys to do it. Well, Aaron Rodgers is fine he's the guy that was supposed to be the successful, you know, piece to that organization, and it hasn't worked out. So I would say the Jets are a bigger disappointment.
But Dak's been out. That was the second game last night. They were terrible before that, Hawk. They weren't balling before that.
Understood. And their expectations, well, I shouldn't even say their expectations were higher, because the expectations were high on the Jets. But their past success has been much greater than what you saw this season. There's a reason that Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Mike McCarthy are all back. I mean, they were close enough to warrant their return. But I think the Jets are a bigger disappointment. The Jets are one of the biggest jokes in the NFL, and everyone is healthy, no?
Yeah, no, 100%. All this stuff, Garrett Wilson, the Quincy Williams and the Wilson brothers, the linebacker, I forget his name, 57. Yeah, everybody's good. Sauce Gardner's playing. They have all their weapons, and they're terrible. And they're firing coaches, firing GMs, upgrading people from OC to receiver coach. Like, you know what? You're right. The Jets are a laughing stock, where the Cowboys are just having a rough season.
I saw a stat today on CBS Sports, their Instagram. Jason Pierre-Paul has an interception in the NFL more recently than Sauce Gardner does for the New York Jets.
That's funny.
Yeah, so silly.
Because he doesn't have that many fingers, Crowder. I get it.
That's my. I saw him recently. That's my buddy.
Yeah. How was that 2-5?
It's weird to dap him up. I'm not gonna lie. It's an awkward exchange.
I just got a push notification. Sources tell ESPN's Rich Simini. He'd be shocked if Jets owner Woody Johnson brings Aaron Rodgers back in 2025.
Yeah, I was just reading that.
Yeah, they do the Russell Wilson. Send him somewhere, pay off half of most of his salary,
it's
get him
different
out of the
with Russell Wilson. Like Aaron Rodgers chose the New York Jets out of all the places who wanted him, and you can't treat him like another player. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is available. Who wants him? You just can't do that. That's not the transaction that he had with Woody Johnson.
Russ picked the Broncos when he left Seattle. He wanted to go there, and he was there. But then, what was it? The New Orleans guy, Sean Payton, got the job.
He's still not Aaron Rodgers. I know he's a Super Bowl champion. He is not Aaron Rodgers. It's not synonymous.
But you move on. I'm not the front end. I'm with you. But the back end of it, Hawk, you move on just like the Broncos told everybody. We owe him a lot of money. They pretty much said we made a mistake giving him that contract. We'll pay him the $23 million. You will trade him to you. You give him $1 million. We'll pick up the most of the salary. We just want him out of here. We want to move on with Bo Nix and whoever the hell the little goofy white boy before Bo Nix was there. Like, they just wanted – the Jets should just get Aaron Rodgers out of the building. To your point earlier, he's not just losing games. He's breaking up the organization with a soap opera. Get him out of the building.
What are you going to do, though? I mean, you don't have Bo Nix.
You draft somebody. They drafted Bo Nix this year. You go out and get Dylan Gabriel or Cam Ward, to be honest, or Jalen Milroe. Like, there's some quarterbacks in this draft. Go get you a young quarterback and see what happens.
You would say that Jalen Milroe is a better option at your NFL quarterback position than Aaron Rodgers?
Then 2024, Aaron Rodgers, yes.
Yeah, I still can't get there. I'd have a tough time getting there.
He's terrible.
I understand that. I'm just saying Milroe would be better sitting a season behind him. Everyone would be better sitting a season behind him. I'd have a tough time saying, yeah, let's get rid of him and just take a flyer on whoever.
No, you got to move on. You're going to let Aaron Rodgers stay a third year and tear up all the continuity in your building
It's really a second year. But he didn't play the first year.
Nathaniel Hackett is sitting around because he's Aaron's guy.
It would really be the second year. You'd be cutting ties after one season.
Good riddance, old man. Riddance? I think it's riddance.
Riddance.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said?
I think I said Rivens. I think I did a T-H. Yeah.
Well, funny enough, Tropicana, the orange juice brand, they said good riddance to their carafe-shaped bottles earlier this year. Did any of you guys notice that? I don't know if you guys drink OJ regularly.
Really? Not much, but usually I get it in the carton.
Really?
It gives me reflux.
Do you get the carafe? You get a glass bottle?
It's not a glass bottle. It's the plastic carafe-shaped bottle, but they had like a very peculiar design with ridges on the top. I'm sure if you saw it, you would recognize it. And I noticed it a couple weeks ago that they had gone away from that.
Yeah, this stuff fascinates me.
It's a more like traditional looking bottle, almost like if you're buying a chocolate milk or a Publix 2% milk.
Tropicana bottle. Uh-huh.
But here's what happened. Despite the logo being the same, because the bottle looks different, their sales have plummeted. Absolutely plummeted. They've lost a ton of money.
Yeah. It's not as classy. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm looking at it now.
Mm.
It just looks like...
Oh, over the summer, it rolled out a more traditional-looking plastic bottle and downsized the bottle from 52 ounces to 46 ounces.
They cheat.
It's called shrinkflation.
And I heard about that.
OJ fans are frustrated about the new look and protested that Tropicana is ripping them off by selling a smaller bottle.
I usually get anything that says Florida on it when they do orange juice. Try to support my state.
I get Sunny D. That's the healthiest one.
That's not orange juice.
Yeah, Sunny D or Tang.
What's it called? Florida's best, Florida's finest, something. It's got a little orange on it.
You know what Tang is, Solana?
No, I don't.
Don't. It's
remember Tang?
I do. It's very equivalent to Yoo-Hoo. It's just a flavor of water.
Man.
No, it's not true. It's powdered orange juice. Remember Tang, Jimmy?
I remember Tang.
Okay.
They still make Tang?
Yes, they do.
I don't know. I'm looking it up now.
They do?
Hawk, the amount of people that I have, this is not a bit. I work out at the JCC in Kendall, the Alper J, as you guys know, and the demographic tends to be a bit older. And by a bit, I mean double my age. The amount of people last Friday that came up to me and said, "How'd you like Yoo-Hoo? Oh, Hawk likes you. I love Yoo-Hoo."
Now you got to get Tang.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible, Hawk. No, it's orange. It's orange water. I'm reading.
Oh, yeah, you mix it in with water, you've got a glass of orange juice.
It was invented by a space flight program.
It was big with the astronauts.
Yeah, to fake orange juice for people that can't get orange juice. It's powdered, you mix it with water. It's not orange juice.
But is it still available?
They have, they've expanded the flavors. They got grape now, strawberry. They got all kind of Tang flavors.
Oh, you got to get Tang, Solana.
Solana, don't.
They have orange strawberry.
Really?
This is nasty.
It says that it's not very popular in the U.S., but worldwide, very popular. Is Tang healthy to drink? This is from Google. Conclusion. Tang is not a healthy drink option for children due to its high sugar content and lack of nutritional value. But that's what I look for in a drink. High sugar content and lack of nutritional value.
Yoo-hoo! You hit it on the head. This is orange Yoo-hoo.
What are the disadvantages of drinking Tang? Experts warn that with high sugar content, artificial additives, and misleading advertising, it can lead to obesity, diabetes, and other serious health issues.
You're going to lose that foot. That foot is gone, huh?
Yeah. Tang. I got to get some Tang.
You're going to lose that foot. Is out of here.
Yoo-hoo and Tang. I'll tell you something. Get that Tang before RFK makes it illegal.
Don't touch Flana. Don't waste your time with Tang.
If you need a real quick pick-me-up, you snort a line of Tang. Holy mackerel, you think you're an astronaut.
That's the way to go.
Tang's one of those things that you ate as a kid and didn't know the difference, and now you're a grown-up, and you're like, I'm not drinking that crap.
You know what really bothers me?
I bought my son Vienna sausage the other day. Ooh. Just to let him experience like, Vienna sausage.
Are you kidding me?
Yep. And he was like, Daddy, this is disgusting. I was
disgusting.
Hurricane food.
Doing?
I just wanted to let him experience my childhood.
I like Vienna sausages.
Delicious. Have you had the ones with the hot sauce in them?
Oh, so good, man. Yeah. Fire.
You're making fun of Tang?
You don't like the Vienna sausages? I will admit, you crack it open, the lid, and you have to almost look away and close your nostrils.
Disgusting.
To dump out that juice. Because that hot dog water is tough, man. It's tough.
It got a little stench to it, Solana. You have to get used to it.
Right,
though.
But once you dump out the liquid and you just let the sink run for about 2 hours, I mean, those Vienna sausages are fire, man.
There we go.
You know what really bothers me now? Yeah, people that are trying to pretend to be healthier, they want to drink more water. So they buy like those little liquid pouches that you could squirt into the water to flavor it. Mm. Have you seen those?
Zio.
Yeah. I hope they don't sponsor us. But you have people, I see it all the time now. They're sitting at lunch. They order a glass of water, and they pull out this thing, and they...
Right. They go, I only drink water. Because I got to get healthy. I only drink water. And here's the most concentrated grape flavor that's ever been put into a little packet. And let me just squirt this in my water real quick. This is a glass of water, though. I drink 8 glasses of water a day. And I squirt the highest concentrated grape flavor in the world right into the water.
Hey, man, what is it, stevia and aspartame, the little fake sugar? Tighten it, you know, it's still
Oh, I'm a big fan of that. I eat that sometimes for lunch. I make a bowl of stevia.
Stevia.
Anything else, Solana?
Your weather from the Divestment and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy tonight. The lows will be in the mid-70s. That is your weather.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Search Katy Perry. You'll figure out why Jimmy wants to do the dishes.
Hawk and Crowder.
Let's do 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. That is brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. I was reading something. Remember yesterday, kind of started the show by saying, hey, if you have Tua as your quarterback, the future's bright. And I really do feel that way. Mm-hmm. What is it? I don't know how you pronounce. Is it Alain Poupart or Alan Poupart?
Alan Poupart.
Alan Poupart. He covers the Dolphins for a long time, and he writes for SI. This is what he wrote about Tua. To no one's surprise, the Miami Dolphins offense has come to life with Tua Tagovailoa back at quarterback. While his passing numbers still aren't up to their 2023 levels, Tua is playing the best football of his career. Tagovailoa hasn't had a 300-yard passing performance since he returned from his concussion in Week 2, and having 5 such games in 2023, plus another in the 2024 season opener, you remember, against Jacksonville, and the big play has disappeared from the offense. The 57-yard touchdown pass to Jonnu Smith in the win over the Raiders, that was off a busted coverage Sunday, notwithstanding. But this isn't about numbers, Allen writes, whether they be Tua's passing yardage or his passer rating, because sometimes those don't tell the whole story. For example, he had a lot of nice throws against the Raiders, but the one that got him the most juice for his passer rating was the one to Smith. That wasn't particularly impressive because he didn't need to do anything. The tight end was so wide open. The gaudy completion percentage also can be misleading to a certain degree because the Dolphins still use many short passes, which are easier to complete. What Tua is doing well as ever, is delivering on third down, which has helped the Dolphins convert at a ridiculous 60.4% clip in the past 4 games. For comparison purposes, the Kansas City Chiefs lead the NFL in that category for the season at 51.9%. Beyond that, what Tua is doing better over the past month than probably any time in his NFL career is making plays off schedule. The latest example came against the Raiders when he moved around in the pocket to buy some extra time and found Tyreek Hill moving across the field just inside the end zone for an 8-yard touchdown on third down. An earlier example against the Raiders was the 24-yard completion to Jaylen Waddle on a similar type of play. There was another long one to Waddle against the Rams in the Monday night victory. It shouldn't be surprising that Tua is able to make more plays on the move because he lost weight, and that's clearly made him more mobile and able to escape from the pocket. Adding that to his usual accuracy when he can set his feet in the pocket has added a dimension to his game. Sure, it would be nice if the Dolphins could play bombs away at times like they did a lot in 2023, but defenses are guarding against that more than ever, and Tua is more content now to check down and not force the issue. And it goes on. But I do find that fascinating. His ability to extend a play and that Tyreek touchdown is a perfect example, but I wasn't even aware of the percentage. 60.4% on third down changes a game.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, I'll always go back to the third and long in the Indianapolis game. I forgot even who the quarterback was.
Tannehill.
Was it Tannehill?
It was Gase and Tannehill.
To have a third down where you feel like you're going to convert, and then we know also Mike McDaniel likes to go for it on fourth down, that changes the game. And Tua has this ability just based on the percentages.
And you bring up the last week with the Raiders game to Tyreek, but the week before that to Waddle when he extended the play for the touchdown. No, man, just look at it. Four games, Tua's out. 3, 12, 15, and 10. Those are hockey scores. Tua comes back, 27 in a loss, 27 in a loss, 34 in a win, 23 in a win. That's Tua's difference. Everybody else is still out there. It's the same thing. But to the point about, I talked about it earlier this week, where Mike McDaniels is evolving. People are not going to let Tyreek Hill run down and run a post every single time in cover four anymore. They're standing there. So start adjusting. Start checking down. Start using your tight end. As you see Jonnu Smith, you know, coming up. Jonnu Smith emerging with the Jonnu package, as we called it early in the year. That's what it's going to be. I've been saying it. I've asked people questions like, our Dolphin fans, I'd ask the people listening, are you ready to be the team that scores 27 points and wins 20-27? That 70-point game that everybody talks about, which is in the it's over a year ago, those 48-point games, this team has the same players, but it's not built like that. Teams are adjusting. The defense isn't going to choke people out. They're going to get to 20, the other team. So let's get to 24 and 27 with Tua being very efficient. What were they, 8 for 12 or something like that? It was something crazy last week on third down. That's what you have to do. It's really winning football. It's not fun, Hawk. It's not the 72-61 games that you enjoy, but it's what you have to do to win. It's what the damn Chiefs-Bills game was this weekend. Those are the two teams you have to beat in the AFC. That's the football you have to play. And I'm glad Mike McDaniel's there. And as long as Tua doesn't get that little peanut rung, we have a chance to compete with those teams.
You want to guess what the over-under is for Sunday? Dolphins-Patriots?
Oh, 46. Yeah.
It's exactly what you're talking about. A 26-20 game.
That's it.
27-21, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And the Patriots aren't going to. The Patriots get to 20, and we got to get to 21. That'll be the game plan.
Boring as hell. I love the bombs away Dolphins offense. That's what I was promised with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. I was promised bombs away.
Do you think I don't want to see Tyreek get 2,000 yards receiving and 18 touchdowns? I would love it. It's just not a winning formula right now for this team.
I was promised I'd see Tyreek Hill with the ball more than Jaylen Wright. What's going on here?
Anyway. We're trying to get to third and short, Hawk. Well, that's what we need to get to, third and short.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You have part of your ass on your foot.
Not a deformity. It's a skin graft. Huh.
It's a deformity. I hate to break it to you. Hawk and Crowder. Someone texts in, by the way, with what we were just talking about. You guys were complaining about coaching 2 weeks ago. Make up your mind. So I texted back. Yeah, we were saying that Mike McDaniel was trying to force this bombs away offense when it wasn't working anymore, where teams had figured it out. It wasn't working. It certainly wasn't working with Tim Boyle and Tyler Huntley. So we were complaining about the coaching. But he's corrected that over the last few weeks. It's why they were able to eke one out over New England and win the last two games. It's a completely different offense. It's why I was just talking about missing the long throws to Tyreek Hill. That was the offense I enjoyed. But Mike McDaniel changed it to turn it into a winning team. And it's not as much fun to watch. But he did what we suggested. He changed the offense. I was saying, someone texted in, said, you're complaining about coaching, but now you're, you know, and I'm like, yeah, Mike McDaniel changed the offense. He, instead of running that bombs away offense that wasn't working, he changed it into a boring offense, but it's winning.
Do you want to win or do you want bombs away?
I'd like to have both.
And we saw it. That's what last year was. But now you have to adjust. People are adjusting to it.
But when you complain about coaching because he's not doing something, he's not changing, he's not making adjustments,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden he starts to do so, well, then you got to applaud him. Like, I mean, that's exactly what we're doing with Mike McDaniel.
Craziest thing is the criticism of the Chiefs is that they don't run the ball enough. But then everybody would say, you have Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, but if we want to win, you need to run the ball more, make it, you know, take advantage of the mismatches in the box and all that stuff. I understand the person that texts that should really watch college football because those coaches don't understand it. They're going to run their offense like a Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin would not work in the NFL. He's going to run five wide every time he can. The athletes in the NFL can cover five wide. The defensive coordinators are going to figure it out. So now you have to adjust and evolve. I don't want to say they figured it out, but people have caught wind of what the Miami offense was. And now you've seen over the last two games that McDaniel's like, no, let me run the ball. Let me throw short passes. Let me get to Solana's already rolling his eyes. Watch college football, Solana. Listen, get to third and short. You don't have to get 25 yards every damn play. It doesn't work like that in the NFL. It's impossible to do that in the NFL because these damn athletes are too good and these DCs are too smart.
Why are you rolling your eyes, Solana?
Because the idea that last year teams couldn't figure out or caught wind of how to stop Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but this year they did. Teams knew what they were doing last year as well. They were doing the same things they were doing this year.
No.
Yes.
This is where you're wrong. No, this is where you're wrong. You had quarterbacks in there, Tim Boyle on down, who were incapable of running that offense. And so now you have to stack up wins. And the way that you can stack up wins, the way that you can be certain to do that is to play a more conservative approach and not play that game. I don't think that that game won't work next season. I don't think that that game won't work if you have Tua healthy for 17 weeks. But you're at a point now where you've got to rack up wins. And Mike McDaniel has adjusted to that.
Hawk, last year, the same teams they're beating now were the same bad teams they beat last year playing that style that you want to see, which is bombs away. It was the exact same thing. And this year, the only teams they've beaten conservatively, as you guys keep saying, are the bad teams. Literally, the Rams aren't a good football team. They're not elite, at least. And now the Raiders...
You didn't think they played a good game plan against Buffalo?
I think they did. I think last year, they played a decent game plan against Buffalo in the first half, and then they choked the game away. We've seen them play good game plans against Buffalo playing their style of football, but this year, they still couldn't get over the top playing the conservative approach.
Okay, this bombs away record-setting NFL year last year, I pulled it up because I remember the end of the season, wild card round, they scored 7. Bills game, week 17, they scored 14. Against the Ravens, who got beat by 40, they scored 19. Beat the Cowboys, scored 22. When they played the Chiefs, the first Chiefs game, they scored 14. That was overseas. 17 against the Patriots. Like, we got caught up in this damn Broncos game so much you're not really thinking about.
I mean, it's the reason they brought Paul Maurice in for the Panthers, if you want to take it to another sport, which is, yeah, you were winning games, but when it comes down to it, you got to win the postseason games or the late season games. And they adjusted. The Panthers did. And we didn't like it at the beginning.
Solana, it's to your point. I'm going up. The Eagles game last year, 17. The first Bill game's 20. The second Bill game was 17.
But all you're
the
proving
Broncos,
to me
they
is
scored 70. 70 against the Broncos. That's great. Remember that. But it wasn't this 50-point-a-game team. This team was – whatever their points were last year were better than this year, but they weren't just putting up 48 every game.
It's crazy, though, because all you guys did during the offseason is they had the number one offense in the NFL. How do you not buy into the number one offense in the NFL? And what I was telling you was the number one offense doesn't matter if you can't beat those teams. You know why they didn't beat those teams? It's not because of the offense or they're just not as talented as those teams top to bottom. We've established this. So I'm not going to buy into, well, Mike McDaniel's made adjustments to beat the Raiders and the Rams. Let me know when he makes the proper adjustments to beat the Bills. Let me know when he makes the proper adjustments
to beat the number one team in the NFC West. But if you're saying that they don't have the personnel to do so, then there is nothing he can do.
There is something he can do. That's the job of the head coach, to go out and maximize it.
They don't have the personnel? But you just said they don't have the personnel.
There's a reason why they were able, with this new strategy, to beat the same teams that they were beating last year, but unable to do it against the same teams they were unable to do it last year as well.
But I'm saying, if they don't have the personnel, then what can he do?
Maximize the guys he has. Maximize them.
Personnel doesn't matter.
Of course
he
it
maximizes,
does.
If course you maximize does. Trash, well,
which
it's
one is
trash.
It?
It's both. If you want to go compete against those teams, you probably need a better roster. I feel strongly about that. But it's the job of the head coach, with the players that he has allotted to him, to maximize the players that he has. And he's been unable to do it in the biggest moments of his career.
And you know what he has to do against those teams that we're going to see, the good teams you're talking about, the above 500 teams, the playoff teams, is slow the game down, play boring football, if you want to call it, get to the fourth quarter at 21-20, and let's see who's going to score the last touchdown. That's what the good teams do. When the Ravens and the Bills play, it happens. When the Bills and the Cincinnati, you saw what happened with them. It's going to be a close game late. That's what he's trying to do. Keep it close late. Slow the game down. It's what Georgia Tech did to UM, to be honest. Run the ball. Get the third and short. I know it sounds lame. I sound like Tony Sperano. Kick at the end of every series. But that's the type of football that you have to play against the teams you're speaking of. I'm with you. 49ers, the Eagles, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs. We know who the top dogs are. You don't want to have a shootout with them. You want to play a slowed down game, and it's going to be who has the ball last. And you have to have the ball last with a good quarterback in Tua, and he needs to make a game-winning drive. He could have tied that damn game in London. They had the ball with 3 minutes left, 21-14. Could have tied it 21-21 to go to overtime. And he threw that little dumbass pass down the sideline, and then now it was over. That's the game we have to play now, and I hope fans – well, hell, I just hope you, Solana, can understand it. Fans probably get it before you do. That's the football that we have to play now. It is what it is.
But I also, you're throwing shade at Mike McDaniel, but I would say if you think they have a lesser roster and he was running the number one offense last season, that is maximizing the personnel.
A year ago, right. But that's not the conversation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not the conversation that we were having. I mean, you guys are talking about, well, last year, what they did didn't work, so now this year they have to do it differently. And I'm just pointing out that to you guys, it worked last year. They had the number one offense.
No, what I was saying was he was trying to force feed an offense through four games when Tua was gone that was not going to work. And now he can't go back to that because he just needs to rack up some wins. And that's why we had to sit through that crap in the first New England game, and probably he'll have to sit through it again in this coming one, because he just got to rack up some wins, because they lost time of him trying to force feed this offense. I thought that's where he made his biggest mistake this season, was running to his offense with Tim Boyle. That's where I thought he fell short. We're way late. We got to give away these Post Malone tickets. What caller number do you want to take for the Posty tickets? 30 for Jimmy Butler last night.
22. Jimmy's number 22.
All right. Caller 22. 305-567-0560. 305-567-0560. Post Malone coming to Hard Rock Stadium next year. And we've got a pair of tickets every day this week. It's a Live Nation show. Caller 22, 305-567-0560. Let's do a real quick break here for the top of the hour. And we'll take out all the promos and stuff, and we'll come back as quickly as we possibly can.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Don't go anywhere. We will continue talking about things we don't know anything about.
Hawk and Crowder.